Good day. It is Thursday, July 25th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. The 15th annual KUAF Summer Jazz Series continues with the Composer Showcase featuring the music of Rick Salonen this Saturday in Walton Arts Center's Star Theater. This performance will present the compositions and arrangements of Dr. Rick Salonen, performed by duos, trios, quartets, and quintets from local jazz artists, including the 18-piece Fayetteville Jazz Collective. Tickets and more information available online at KUAF.com or waltonartcenter.org.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Noble Impact hopes to educate high school students on opportunities in public service. Locally made, handmade home goods at Noble Dwelling. And Springdale acquires the land it needs to expand the Razorback Greenway.
But first, legislation introduced in the U.S. Senate yesterday is expected to ensure Mayflower oil spill victims get tax relief. Arkansas Senator Mark Pryor says the Mayflower Oil Spill Tax Relief Act of 2013 is intended to protect affected residents by making sure compensation from ExxonMobil is not taxed by the federal government. In a conference call with reporters yesterday, Senator Pryor said the legislation has specific goals.
The bill would exempt things like personal and family and living expenses as a result of the spill. It basically just help them on their taxes, and also if they have expenses for repair or rehabilitation for their residence or maybe a replacement, something like that, they would allow some tax treatment there.
Senator Pryor worked on the bill with Senator John Bozeman. Both say the legislation would protect Mayflower families who receive compensation by classifying the contributions under current law as qualified disaster relief payments. Senator Bozeman admits much still needs to be done at the federal and state levels to reimburse the residents.
Everybody agrees that you know, there was so much damage, the oil company pays you that. What we don't want is then for people to have to pay taxes, on that amount that they got. So hopefully we'll get this done. It's very, very important, and it's the right thing to do.
Senator Bozeman says he and Senator Pryor will work with Senate leadership to gain final approval of the measure in a timely manner.
State lawmakers are considering ways to fix troubling trends with Arkansas's parole system. The Joint Judiciary Committee met yesterday and examined why repeat offender rates are near the 70% mark. Some legislators were particularly concerned with a 2007 policy directive authorizing the discharge of those who failed to report to their parole officer if their original discharge date had passed. Critics say the policy allowed parolees to hide out and be set free if they hid long enough. The policy memo was meant to be a temporary 60-day plan to clear a backlog of files. Republican Senator Eddie Joe Williams of Cabot said the conscious choice to continue the policy creates concern over the prevailing atmosphere at state agencies.
But it just looks to me like that somebody consciously, and it concerns me, that we consciously did that for years. Still, I'm more interested in what we're going to do to move forward. But I just want to make sure that that type of atmosphere, that frame of mind, has got to be, is it public, is it safety, number one, for the public? And if it's not, then we're not going to do it. And I think it continues to concern me.
Deputy Director of Parole Dan Roberts said he wasn't aware of the memo, though another senator said a copy was sent to him. But Roberts did say the policy is being changed.
I can assure you that that particular memo and the policy statewide will be changed and has been changed unofficially already, but I will make sure that it's reinforced that it is changed.
The hearing also included testimony from some calling for more technological solutions, and some suggested risk assessments should be changed to treat nonviolent career criminals as violent offenders, a move that would decrease the likelihood of parole. Senator Stephanie Flowers of Pine Bluff argued that providing mental health and job assistance to parolees would decrease the rate of recidivism and do more to benefit the community as a whole.
For the third consecutive year, the University of Arkansas is completing its fiscal year with more than $100 million in private giving support. The university announced yesterday it had recorded $108.4 million in private donations from July 2012 through June 30th of this year. That total was above the university's fundraising goal of $107 million. Mark Power is the university's assistant vice chancellor for development. He says the amount of contributions brought in last year is the fourth highest total ever for the university.
We had two in our capital campaign, and then we had the fundraising 2 years ago that was 120 21.3, which was 2011. So this would rank as our fourth best year. So we're very pleased about that.
Power says that successful years of fundraising, like the one just completed, helped the university move toward its goal of being a top 50 research university.
As we all know, private giving is very important to the overall growth of a university campus, and certainly here at the university, we see that private giving will provide that margin of excellence. And so as we continue on our trajectory and continue to try to do as best as we can for our students and faculty and staff, this is something that will play a major role in that effort to become a top 50 in the years to come.
Of the total amount raised, about $27 million, or roughly one-fourth, was designated to support athletics and the Razorback Foundation. 49% of the funds raised earmarked for students and programs, 37% supported capital improvements, 9% benefited faculty and staff, while 5% went toward other initiatives such as university libraries, the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, the Sustainability Consortium, and the university's diversity efforts.
The Rogers Downtown Historic District may soon get a little bigger. Proposed areas to be added to the district include the half block on the west side of 2nd Street between Walnut and Elm, and the half block on the west side of 1st Street between Poplar and Cherry. Carrie Jensen, director of Main Street Rogers, says that the plan would add areas to the historic district that were added to the National Historic Register last year.
In a survey they did, there was enough historic buildings within those two areas to qualify to be on the National Historic Register. And if you have a qualified building and you're already listed, then you are available for the federal and state tax credits.
According to the Arkansas Historic Preservation Program, owners of buildings that are eligible for inclusion on the National Historic Register can receive as much as a 20% tax credit for rehabilitation of a structure. Even if a building isn't qualified for inclusion on the register, but is in a historic district, rehabilitation projects can garner building owners a 10% tax credit. Jensen says that extending the historic district effectively gives owners of these historic buildings a protection on their investment.
They know that the building next to them, there are some guidelines there to keep it from becoming run down or torn down or some, you know, huge modification that would kind of ruin the look of the block. So you're not going to invest a whole lot of money in your building to bring it back to its historic significance, only to find out that the building next door is going to take away from your property value.
But the Rogers City Council will have to make the final approval on extending the boundaries of the historic district.
Yesterday, we told you about the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality holding a series of meetings throughout Arkansas regarding an update to the state's 10-year solid waste plan. While one of those meetings will be held tonight at Centerton City Hall, we did incorrectly state that the meeting for Washington-Madison counties would be held in early August. The meeting actual date is scheduled to take place at 6 p.m. August 12th. At the Jones Center in Springdale. Additional meetings in the area will be held August 13th at the Harrison City Council Chambers and on August 20th at the Phoenix Professional Building in Fort Smith.
Drought conditions continue to set in across Arkansas, though recent rains may have slowed the progression of the drought. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, measures drought conditions every Tuesday and releases that data every Thursday. Nearly 11% of the state is under severe drought conditions. 51% of the state is under moderate drought. 91% of the state is at least abnormally dry, and only 9% of the state's northeastern corner is under no drought conditions. Although the majority of the state is dry, only 9 counties still are under burn bans, including Carroll and Madison counties in northwest Arkansas.
The Northwest Arkansas Travelers are now in first place. They won two games last night at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale, defeated the Springfield Cardinals 10-8 in the resumption of a game that had been postponed because of weather the night before, then won the nightcap 8-0. They're now a game ahead of Springfield in the Texas League North. Mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, lows from 65 to 71. Tomorrow, 80% chance of rain, highs in the upper 70s. And for Friday night, 30% chance of showers in northwest Arkansas with lows in the upper 50s. 40% chance of rain tomorrow night in the Arkansas River Valley, lows in the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.